Our scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 26. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts in one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Thank you, God, for the inspiration of this word.
Like to do a song about another kind of a musician. This one's dedicated to all the bad guitar players in America. Are you ready? Come on, Harry, smoke it, get into that thing, feel it, come on, hump, hump, cold sweat, feel it. You find a beat in there, you're better than I am. All the very day I purchased it, I christened my guitar as my monophonic symphony, six-string orchestra. In my room, I'd practice late, and they'd leave me alone. My mother said, you're nothing yet to make the folks right home. Oh, I'd play it all the talent nights, I'd finish, they'd applaud. Some called it muffled laughter, I just figured they were odd. So I went up for an encore, but they screamed they'd had enough. Maybe I just need a group to help me do my stuff. And so I dream a bass will join me and fill the bottom in. And maybe now some lead guitar so it will not sound so thin. I need some drums to set the beat and help me keep in time. And way back in the distance, some strings would sound so fine. And we'd all play together like fine musicians should. And it would sound like music, and the music would sound good. But in real life, I'm stuck with that same old formula. Me and my monophonic symphony, six string. It's my solo. orchestra.
Do it, fingers!
Eat your heart out of her, Clapton. Oh, I write love songs for my favorite girl and sing them soft and slow. But before I get to finish, she says she has to go. She's nice and says, excuse me, I've got to find a bar. I think I need refreshment before I hear you play guitar. Oh, I sent a demo tape I made to the record companies. Two came back, address unknown. One came back, COD. Of course, I get form letters, all saying pleasant things, like suggesting I should find a trade where I would not have to sing. And so I dream a bass will join me and fill the bottom in. And maybe now some lead guitar so it would not sound so thin. I need some drum to set the beat and help me keep in time. And way back in the distance, some strings would sound so fine. I need all the help I can get, and we'd all play together like fine musicians should. And it would sound like music, and our music would sound good. But in real life, I'm stuck with that same old formula. Me and my monophonic symphony, six string. It's my solo. Orchestra! Well, all right!
Let's join together in prayer. Precious and loving God, we thank you for going on these extended journeys with us that we can watch ourselves grow into our identities. Precious God, thank you for going on these extended journeys with us so that we can see the communities of support that surround us as they try to assist us to grow into the potential that you have in our lives. Today, as we look at this scripture from the Apostle Paul, talking about both the necessity of discovering who we are as individuals, as well as what it means to be a part of the greater community. Be with us as we all go on that journey. Help us to discover who you are creating us to be. And in your Son's precious and loving name, I pray. Amen. What a blessing it is to continue this summer series of music as we once again use a Harry Chapin song, a six-string orchestra. One of my favorite silly songs that Harry wrote. And we also look at what it means to be individuals who individually work together to create community. And that's going to become a little bit of a convoluted statement as I try to make it through this conversation. But I want us to think about something that's crucial. Our individualized identities are crucial to the greater community. God has blessed us with individualized strengths, individualized gifts, individualized potentials, and enables us to work towards creating communities where that our gifts combine with others and become this greater narrative of caring for the greater community. North Coast United Methodist Church is a United Methodist Church, and within the understanding of our connectional system as churches, there's a lot of things that open up in our lives because we are a part of this connectional system. One of the things that opens up for us is even the smallest church can do great things. Smaller churches, as they work on their gifts and strengths of building community within themselves, developing opportunities, developing strengths, even within the smallest churches, still have the ability of being active presences in ministry throughout the entire world. It's the blessings that come to us through our connectional relationship in the faith with the larger structure of the United Methodist Church. It is a blessing that we at 1501 Kelly Street in Oceanside, California, have the opportunity of developing relationships in Oceanside. We do so through very powerful ministries, from participating at Brother Benno's mission once a month and serving breakfasts, through working with a connectional system within our mission area of Oceanside and Vista and Encinitas and San Marcos and Escondido, as we are currently working through developing collectively something that we need collective help with. Right now, North Coast United Methodist Church is partnering with Open Spaces. And Open Spaces is this new young adult and youth-focused ministry that is opening doors and making it possible for any young adult and any teenager to find a place of inclusion in a faith-based environment, as our dear friends find their individualized images and find their place at the greater table of grace in Jesus Christ. This is something one church could not do alone. And as we take our individualized passion that I have shared recently in our mission statement, that we want to love people passionately and show God's unconditional love to any and all people, we are working together with our church's passion, with the collective churches in our mission area, to begin to create ministry opportunities and ministry participation for anyone that's trying to find a place within the faith of Jesus Christ. I can't remember which comedian it was, but when I heard this statement, it immediately made me think of me. And I'm going to poke a little fun at myself, but it's for the importance of the narrative. If you've ever received an email from me, you know that I have some grammar issues, and there's times that my dyslexia gets in the way. I don't see the written mistakes that exist. And one time I heard a comedian, or maybe it was an actor in some comedy series, who was showing an individual didn't always get puns so well. The phrasing that came out, and I got a big giggle out of this, and it made me think of me, but it's a point that I want to make in this conversation. The statement that was made, it was off of the pun, is that there is no me in team. And actually there is, if you rearrange the letters. But the phrasing that was shared is there is no I in community. And those of you that know how to spell words much greater than Pastor Michael Drew Davis already see the joke in that. There is an I in community. And there is a necessity of understanding the I in community so that we can bring our gifts in and work together to celebrate greater things. Our importance of being a part of a greater team, opening doors so that we can reach souls in the name of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reason I picked this week's song, Six String Orchestra, it's a narrative. This song is very much a narrative of an individual that has this passionate love for music, who wants to be active and involved in music, but is not fully equipped to do that on their own. They're not fully equipped to step out to be the main upfront rock star that can go out and have a strong single solo career and interact in music alone. One of the things that I love with this Harry Chapin song is that it actually, that
it shows what the Apostle Paul is talking about in this scripture. Now, this scripture also becomes convoluted, and it's also one of my favorite scriptures because of how convoluted it can get. And it's just in the phrasing and the narrative of the words. You know, the Apostle Paul begins to lay out this narrative of a body, and it talks about both the importance of an individualized body part, even though that body part may become weak at times, and maybe through injuries or physical disabilities, that body part may not fully function as we would want, but it is through that individual's abilities, no matter what they may be, when it is drawn into the collective of the entire body, is when the entire body begins to shine. That's what the Apostle Paul shares when he begins to talk about the importance of eyes. Without our eyes, we can't see. Without our ears, we can't hear. Without our mouths, we can't speak. And he lays out this narrative of how each function of each individual part of the body is important to the greater structure. But then he begins to talk about how that one piece does not hold the primary function. He begins to talk about, well, that if we look at ourselves and we begin to become envious of other things, then we need to look at what's lacking. If the mouth is only important, then we never hear. Now, we see that narrative a lot. There's so many dear friends within our culture who is more focused on being heard than listening to others. Without our eyes, we can't see. Without our noses, we can't smell. Can a mouth walk? Can ears grab things? Can eyes breathe? The Apostle Paul pulls out this entire narrative. That's one of the things I like about this song, because we see this truly passionate individual who cannot play guitar well, but he has this passion that he wants to interact with music and be a part of music and flow through music and be active with music. So we begin to see that even though this frustrated musician may not be a top-tier performer, it's when you add in the bass, it's when you add in the drums, it's when you add in the piano, it's when you add in the lead guitar, when all of the music is formed together, it's when it finds its fullest potential. In the earlier years of my life, when I went to school, my freshman and sophomore years of college, I graduated with a music degree. I was actually going through teaching classes. My passion in life was to become a high school choir teacher. That was the passion that I went into college with. And thankfully, through a very long journey, God began to open other doors. God began to show potentials in me that opened other opportunities. And now I find myself as the head pastor at North Coast United Methodist Church. But there was a moment as I was going through my student teaching program that I was sitting with a high school choir, and this high school choir was magnificent. They won many district and state music choir festivals and so forth. Really, really just an amazing group of kids that sang with this. And it was a blessing of mine to kind of be around that group for a couple of years. And there was one day that we were sitting and I was only with the bass section. When I went through college, when I went through high school, I sang the lower notes. My voice has changed over time a little bit. And I don't think I can hit as low as I did, but that's what I heard. And one day we're at a practice and the kids were just singing their part, the guys, and it was a bass line. And there was this middle note that they hit that sounded off. And the kids say, we're singing the right note. Why does it sound so bad? And I told him, it doesn't sound bad. Just wait. And they really couldn't, on that day, justify within themselves that when we were singing this bass line and I was plunking it out on the piano for them, and I said, here, this is the note you're supposed to be singing. And for that reason, on that day, I don't know if they were trying to burn off time just to not practice so much, but it became this discussion on why this one note sounded so terrible in that moment. And I shared with them, just wait till we go back and have the entire choir sing together. Sometimes if we only look at the structure of music one line at a time, we miss the greater picture. Sometimes, like in the song of Harry Chapin's, if we only look at our struggles with trying to learn to play guitar, we miss out how those struggles are building us up to be a part of the greater community. We are missing the importance of our individualized journey that one day will help the greater structure find its place and help the greater structure find its identity in the task at hand. This is the narrative of the necessity of the I in community. The necessity of realizing our individualized journeys, even if we're struggling in those things, whether we're the guitar player in this Harry Chapin song that struggles to be a part of music that they want to be so passionately a part of, whether that we're this choir in East Tennessee that is struggling or burning off time with the student teacher, struggling with this one note that sounds so far out of place that it sounds terrible by itself. But later on in that day, as the musician in this Harry Chapin song finds his band, and as this choir hears the entire musical structure flow together, that one little off note that stood alone made a beautiful sound of a minor key that was rich and strong. The musician in this Harry Chapin song that's struggling and fighting, who wants to be a part of music so direly that he fights with it. And then this musician finds their band, and this musician takes their journey and gets better. They improve because of it. There's improvement. But even at the beginning, they see how their journey and their passion and their struggle begins to make a richer song when it is combined together with other people's gifts and other people's strengths. It's what the Apostle Paul shares with us. Some of us have the ability to see things. Some of us have the ability to speak. I mean, there is no greater example of this, of the necessity of one person being able to see and one person being able to speak and combining those gifts together, then if we look all the way back into the foundational parts of our faith movement as Aaron and Moses. Aaron, the one who speaks, and Moses, who the one who can see the potential, working together with their gifts, even though that Moses suffered with a speech impediment. Each of them using their gifts so that growth could happen. There's so many times that I find myself in conversations that I hear the phrase, I can't because. There are so many times that I speak to myself that I hear this phrase, I can't because. I hear in my head, there is no me in team, and I forget there is an I in community. And when we find our places equipped in community, as the Apostle Paul challenges in this conversation, pushing the acknowledgement of the reality of community, we hold a important cog in the community working together. Watches are very beautiful things. Now, a cog in a watch is something that can easily be lost. It can fall out, it can break. And even the smallest, weakest cog, if it falls out, if it breaks, it affects the greater structure. The most smallest thing becomes important to the greater structure. And each cog in its right place, with its ability, begins to make the greater structure move forward. Sometimes it's the youngest voice in the room that inspires others to try new things. Sometimes it's the aged voice in the room that has had the longest journey, but maybe not the currently the most strength, that provides the sage advice that keeps the community going. Sometimes it's the one that tries to sing for the first time that inspires another to join in the choir. Sometimes it's us trying to justify, trying to rationalize the minor keys in our lives, and we're desperately trying to wait to hear that minor note in the greater chord structure pull everything together and show a potential of hope and growth. It's all these things that tie together that both show the necessity that each of our individualized journeys are of sacred worth to the greater community. And it's when that we find ourselves entrenched with the greater community that we can put our feet into the sand and find a foundation of hope and work together for greater things. I want us to think about that, because sometimes we find ourselves stuck with just saying, I'm a hack guitar player, there's no hope. Sometimes we find ourselves stuck in this music is in the minor key and there's no hope. Sometimes we find ourselves stuck in the I can'ts and there's no hope. And it's just because we haven't seen how our cog fits in its place. We haven't seen how our gift fits in its place. And we have not seen the band that's waiting for its next instrument to make the music more sweeter. I want you to think about those things. I want you to realize, no matter what your journey is, that you are a beautiful creation in Jesus Christ. And within all the potential that exists in your being, you have a place in the greater song. Thank you for sharing with me. Thank you for being with me in this conversation. My name is the Reverend Michael Drew Davis. God is love, and there is a place for you. Amen.
Thank you once again for joining us for worship, and let's join together for our closing benediction. Precious God, thank you for showing us the places that we are involved in your ministry. Help us show others, no matter their gifts or graces, their space of involvement as well. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God is love. Amen.